we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Well, more news is coming out about the fraud and the lies, death and destruction that's resulted from it, and several interesting points that need not be overlooked, including the recent hearing on last week that is just harrowing news that the Congress is finally taking this up about these vaccines. Jordan, what did you find interesting about the hearing?
So there's a couple different things. Obviously, it was a hearing that had the FDA head as well as the CDC head. And then, interestingly enough, the payment program for those injured isn't running through what we would call the vaccine harm court. It's actually running through this basically countermeasure, which is a part of the military. And it was interesting to find out that they've only paid out 12 people that have been harmed by this vaccine. And the reason that it's a countermeasure is because it wasn't an approved vaccine. It was a countermeasure for some type of event. It would be similar to paying out something for, you know, responding to a terrorist attack or something like that, which is a, the interesting thing was the task force, the countermeasure task force for payment was only made up of 5 people. and they are the ones that are responsible for running. Of course, they've evidently had to increase their workforce to 50 people. But even that, the actual task force person says that he is inadequately staffed to deal with the amount of issues. The other thing is that the amount of money paid to individuals has been, on average, about $3,000.
Oh, wow.
$3,000. Now, I am not a big fan of the vaccine injury court or the vaccine harm court, but at least they pay out approximately $490,000 to each claimant. But in this COVID vaccine time warp that exists where it's not an approved vaccine, but you were mandated to take it, this countermeasure court is where they decide what to pay, and the payment is very different than the vaccine injury court. Again, we're talking about $3,000. But a couple of things that were interesting was one of the Republican congressmen, Michael Cloud, brought up why the COVID vaccine is on the vaccine preventable disease list. And the typical way that government responds is quite interesting. So I'll go ahead and let you hear that now.
I wanted to ask you each a couple of questions. It's simple, yes or no. Does the COVID-19 vaccine prevent the disease from getting it, from you receiving the disease? Does it?
You can't have a yes or no answer to that question because it will reduce your risk of serious outcomes such as
death. Right. I'm not debating whether or not it helps people. It mitigates some of the, but what the
so
people
I care
are,
if I'm alive or dead. So I think they do a very good sure. job of preventing death and hospitalization. They may not prevent.
I agree.
Infection.
The mantra at the time was to stop the spread. And so we were understood that we either did not receive it or could not transmit it when it was released. Could you speak to that, Dr. Jernigan? Can you receive it or can you transmit it after receiving the COVID-19 vaccines?
Yeah, I think having worked at CDC for 30 years and seen the benefits of vaccine, you know, we have to make the best recommendation.
Can you transmit it or can you receive it after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine?
We need to make the best recommendations that we have.
That's a yes or no question. It's very simple. Dr. Commander Grimes, can you receive?
I think we make the best recommendations for the public as we
can. You still get COVID after getting the COVID-19 vaccine?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
That's correct.
Does it prevent you from transmitting it?
although it may, there's data that shows that earlier in the pandemic, there was some reduction in transmission. The data on that are very challenging to pin down, but it does not absolutely prevent transmission. So
it does not prevent transmission. Thank you very much. I would ask you, Dr. Jernigan, why does the CDC website then list it as a vaccine preventable disease, and why does it call it a recommended immunization?
Well, vaccine preventable diseases are referring to things that benefit from getting the vaccine. What we know with COVID is it does prevent you from getting severe disease, hospitalizations, and deaths.
I agree. No one's questioning that. No one's questioning that. But it's listed among these other the issue right now, and why we're seeing a bunch of vaccine hesitancy is because the information coming from the federal government has been murky at best on this subject. And so people don't know what to trust. And so my question to you is, why do you list this along with other very proven that have a long set of scientific data as a vaccine that prevents disease?
All vaccines have variable different levels of effectiveness, and so this is a vaccine-preventable disease, just like all the others are.
Okay.
So, interesting. So, first of all, it was an interesting question there, Stuart, but the answer was also interesting, given that if they classify that vaccine along with all the other vaccines that they say have been eradicating disease, it kind of makes you question even that. I don't know. Yeah. I would have said, if I were in their shoes, I would have said, look, this was a warp speed vaccine. Also, Marx, the first guy who responded, who couldn't say that it didn't do that. The obvious answer, at least I would have informed Mr. Cloud here, or Representative Cloud, I would have said, well, the funny thing is, he says, we know it does this. It's like, well, we don't know it does that because that's not right. What you tested. You right. didn't test that's that.
Right. That's right. That was not the goal of the first two-month trial that they gave us.
And they're the ones that say the gold standard, if I remember right, Stuart, is randomized controlled trials. So he's using observational data to say that it reduces disease severity. That's, to me, questionable, isn't it? If you're living in the white ivory towers of academic and institutionalized medicine there.
Yeah. Now, let's review real quick on who Dr. Marx is. He's the head immunization guy at the CDC, and he was the guy that wouldn't show for the hearing, the federal hearing down in Tampa. He was invited by the judge to come to the hearing, and he did not. And this was March the 10th, I believe, of 2022. Because on March the 1st of 2022, there was a confidential letter between that came out from the early part of 2021, right after the vaccines came out. And Marx, and we're going to later in today's program talk about the data on whether it stops infection or lessens the risk of death and hospitalization, because the data that Steve Kirsch gives is that it is far from it. It's the exact opposite. But they're still clinging to the reality that, well, no, it doesn't. Remember, they promised us it would. You don't want to give granny the COVID, so you got to get your shot. But that two-month trial that they did back in 2020 did not look at this. And then they bastardized the whole thing by giving the placebo studied patients the shot so that they wouldn't have a controlled arm going forward. The whole thing's been bastardized, and it's an embarrassment to all of science throughout history, not just in the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing to me that they were unable to even come up with good responses. I mean, I would have just said, well, Dr. Marx, have you had COVID? Right. And you took the vaccine? All of them to sit there and say, yeah, it does. And I would guarantee you that all three of those people have had COVID.
Well, look no further than our president. And not only did he have the vaccines, but he also had Paxlovid and got repeat three different infections after starting the Paxlovid, if I remember correctly, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing that was interesting is that what this did is expose the vaccine mandate as being really a political thing. And I think that was because when they showed that, that was pretty obvious that the goal and why Marx was pushing it was he was being pressured by the Department of Defense. So, as well as the mandate department, because Marx is on record that saying that, you know, we couldn't get the vaccine, done correctly or basically mandated without it being approved. So the FDA approval was definitely based on that.
I want to ask each of you this question.
So we'll get to that in a second. But when Weinstrup actually does that, it's fascinating because it's again goes back to the fact that this is a completely political enterprise. So here's that part right here. I'm going to go ahead and get them on here.
Pfizer submitted their full approval application on May 18th, 2021, correct?
That's correct.
And January 18th, 2022 was the original required action due date, correct?
That's correct.
And you worked with Dr. Philip Krause and Dr. Marion Gruber on this, correct? Thank you. When Pfizer submitted the application, Dr. Krause and Dr. Gruber oversaw the approval process. According to documents and testimony, they believe they could and should approve the vaccine faster than 8 months. They proposed the end of October 2021. You, Dr. Marx, requested September 15th, 2021. They hesitated but obliged. You, Dr. Marx, then said you wanted it approved even faster than September 15th, but they declined. According to them, after they declined, you and former FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock relieved them from the roles in the approval process. They said that they felt, quote, substantial pressure, unquote, from you to approve this vaccine faster than they thought was defensible. My question is, did anyone instruct you to speed up the approval timeline faster than September 15th, 2021?
Chair Comer, thank you for that question. I think it deserves an explanation, but what was going on during that summer that changed the situation was in the week ending July 10th of 2021, there were 1,645 deaths. In the week ending August 14th, there were 9,406 deaths. There were an increasing number of deaths from COVID-19, and there was clear knowledge that having an approved vaccine would help Americans feel more comfortable getting vaccinated. So we felt speeding up the vaccine approval process.
So let me interrupt. Did anyone instruct you, or is this just a decision you made on your own?
This was a decision that I had made on my own.
So why were you pressuring the doctors and then removing them from the approval process when they disagreed?
The approval process was one that was needed to move as rapidly as possible. One of the physicians.
Okay, let me we may go back to that. Do you recall any conversations regarding the need to approve the vaccines in order for it to then be mandated?
There was an acknowledgement that an approval could allow vaccine mandates to occur, but there were not conversations over that it were.
So Dr. Gruber wrote that you and Dr. Woodcock expressed your opinion that absent a license, states cannot require mandatory vaccination. Do you recall this conversation?
I don't know what you're referring to, but it's just a statement of fact that once you have a licensed vaccine, a mandate could be placed.
Do you recall why Dr. Gruber and Dr. Krause expressed concern about accelerating the approval of the vaccine?
They were concerned about the workload.
Okay. Dr. Gruber wrote that taking a thorough approach was important because of increasing evidence of association of this vaccine and development of myocarditis especially in young men. Do you recall seeing safety signals regarding myocarditis in young men during this time?
There were safety signals known, and they were placed on the label. But Chair Comer,
let me finish. Did you ever have any conversations regarding the vaccine approval with the Department of Defense?
I can't recall any conversation directly with the Department of Defense.
Did anyone else at FDA have conversations regarding the vaccine approval with Department of Defense?
I can't speak to the conversation of others. I'm just not aware of.
Did you express your desire to approve the vaccine by August 20th?
I did.
And it was ultimately approved on August 23rd, correct?
Correct.
And just for the record, the military mandate was issued on the 24th. And that is interesting timing.
So we'll continue this, but it is interesting to hear somebody who's been, I don't know if you would say caught, Stuart, but when he goes from I did this, I did that to I don't recall, what does that usually mean to you there, Stuart?
Well, he's obviously trying to avoid the reality, admitting to the reality that the DOD was operating this as a military operation from the beginning. I think that's a part of why he's doing obfuscating. And I mentioned he was the director of the vaccines for the CDC. It was actually for the FDA, as you know.
Yeah, he's the head of the FDA now. Yeah, but before that, he was even involved in VRBPAC or whatever, the vaccine biologics approval process. But it's interesting. I like how Comer set that up, Representative Comer, because he says Gruber and Krauser. Both the most senior people at the FDA on the approval arm, they didn't like that.
Right.
And he got rid of them.
Right.
But they didn't like that because of myocarditis in young men. Yet, what is usually the military made up of?
Yeah, young men. That's right. And of course, Teresa Long's expert witness, testimony witness in federal court, shows that early on we saw the signal in myocarditis and the illegal, unethical mandating of these shots.
Yeah. All right. So with that, we will be back. Again, this is Dr. Jordan Vaughn, Dr. Stuart Hankersley on America Out Loud Pulse. We'll continue to look at some of the snapshots of people asking for answers from some of our supposed leaders.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
What we have heard from in the last few passages from this COVID Select Committee was that the overall response here was quite inadequate. But one of the things that I think is also additionally important is the vaccine adverse event reporting system. And I think one of the things that OneStrip does a good job of pointing out is how unprepared the FDA was for the amount of adverse events that were going to be reported. So from that standpoint, we're going to listen to what Mark says in response to Committee Chair Weintraub's questioning.
As of February 2024, VAERS reports for COVID-19 vaccines total significantly higher than all other vaccines combined since 1990, as reported. This is a surprising figure. Dr. Marks, was the government prepared for such an avalanche of reports to VAERS? And it kind of goes with what we just mentioned. So,
Chair Weintraub, thank you so much for that question. And I apologize about your name before. It shows when you're nervous, things can happen. But the point is extremely well taken. We tried to be prepared for that, but the avalanche of reports was tremendous. And it, again, required retasking people on the fly I'll let my CDC colleagues speak to this. We had to hugely staff up and had many meetings working to increase our ability to go through these reports.
As of February.
So it does, in some ways, bother you that, first of all, it's a little bit of a laughing matter. But second of all, that despite the reassurance from the FDA at this time, as well as just our government officials in general, that everything's perfectly fine, they were suffering from an overwhelming demand and need for reporting for adverse events. And again, they had multiple meetings, more than doubling and tripling the staff available, and they were unprepared for an avalanche of reports. But I will tell you one thing, that is not what you heard from the government. The government did not say, hey, we rolled this thing out, and the reality is that we don't even have the staffing to take care of adverse events that have been reported. But not only that, we're doubling or tripling our staff, and we can't really keep up. And of interest, the next thing that we're going to play is actually a report from the COVID Select Committee, but this is from Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I think as much as she is quite a firebomb in her role, I think she did a good job here of questioning for the vaccine injured. And I think one of the things that she did was questioning why the compensation program for the vaccine injured in this instance is so much different than the typical vaccine injuries. And so she's going to go through that right now. But I think it is it also is something to think about.
872 permanent disability, 17,842 hospitalizations, 86,452 emergency room or office visits, 315,048 serious adverse events, 113,449. This is from the Congressional Research Service about VAERS. All kinds of injuries, miscarriages, heart attacks, myocarditis, permanent disability, neurological problems. And it goes on and on and on. These are the reports from people being forced to take vaccines. Shouldn't have happened. Mr. Grimes, I've just told you the numbers of reports. However, under CICP, there are only 10,640 of these COVID-19 claims are currently pending or are in review. And as of January 1st, 2024, CICP only compensated 11 of the 40. Oh, wait, let's make that number clear to everyone. Only 11 people have been compensated. Only 11 people have been compensated. Out of the 40 COVID-19 claims it determined were eligible, only 40 were determined eligible. That is amazing. and the average award was only about $3,700. On the other hand, the average VICP payout over the last 35 years is approximately $490,000. If you die or get injured from a COVID-19 vaccine, your average payout's $3,700. I'd like to recognize someone in the room today is here, Breanne Dressen. She's met with you, Dr. Marks. She's met privately with you about her vaccine injuries. She participated in a clinical trial. She was injured, and then she was dropped from the trial for the COVID-19 vaccines. Her medical expenses are $433,000 a year. She filed with CICP. Mr. Grimes, she's gotten no response. She's right here. Could you raise your hand, Ms. Dressen, please? Thank you. Perhaps you can meet with her after this meeting. Dr. Marks, you admitted to her that vaccine injuries are real, that they're real. Although you rushed through the authorization, and now you've authorized that children should receive these vaccines, and even babies as young as 6 months old. That is shameful. That's shameful. I'm not asking you a question. I'm going to continue speaking. Thank you. This is my time. The National Institute of Health also saw Ms. Dressen for her neurological complications that have been quite severe. They studied her, and then they dropped the study and asked her to be quiet about it. These are the real stories of the vaccine injured. They were totally, completely wiped off of social media. There's been thousands of peer-reviewed medical studies, thousands of them studying vaccine injuries. They are real. People are dying. People are having heart attacks, strokes, blood clots, and many other countries are dropping the COVID-19 vaccine and saying we shouldn't give them to children.
Amen.
It's time to be honest about the vaccine injured, and we need to stop allowing these COVID-19 vaccines to be given out to children.
Gentleladies, time.
So I think she does a good job. First of all, she pointed out somebody we know well, which is Bree Dressen, who is founded React 19. She is a vaccine injured, but she is one of the most takes her every bit of her time advocating for those who can't do that. But it is crazy to think that, again, the data that she's giving from the Congressional Research Service about hospitalizations, 86,000. Permanent disabilities, 18,000. Deaths, 18,000. Office visits, 315,000.
And that's then what they admit to.
Yeah, what they admit to. But then they have only had 40 cases, and only 11 of them have been approved in this CICP, which is the Countermeasure Injury Compensation Program. Only 11 of them for an average compensation of $3,700. I mean, again, I will, from this day forward, think the vaccine, the VISAP, is totally inadequate for what happens to children that have neurological complications following vaccines. But the average compensation there is $490,000. But in this case, first of all, only 40 are determined eligible out of hundreds of thousands, admitted hundreds of thousands, and only 11 have actually been paid.
Well, they don't have money out of the $5 billion to promote these shots to pay injured people. So
yeah, it's absolutely, it is absolutely nuts that.
Unless you want to play the next segment from that hearing, I think this would be a good time for us to play Ed Dowd's comments recently, last week on the Flyover Conservative interview that he did. And I've got it spun up here if you want me to play it now.
Go ahead.
Modus operandi. I saw this on Wall Street. You know, Enron was a fraudulent company, and the CEO and the CFO were, whispering to their investors all the way down to zero on the stock, and until they were in handcuffs that everything was fine. This is once you're they lie until they're caught. And that's where we are with the CDC, the FDA, There's institutional corruption. They're captured, they're owned. I saw a stat today that the CDC has 57 patents on vaccines. Why are they a vaccine company? I'm just trying to understand what they are actually.
It's a great question.
Yeah, this is speculative, and this would be like maybe just sitting around, you know, having coffee, talking kind of a question, and I'll hold you to it. But when there's this duality in our culture of you turn on the television, you're watching sports, and you got Travis Kelce on there like, hey, don't just get the vaccine booster, get your flu shot at the same time. Get mm-hmm. to
it. Yeah, and he goes into the absurdities of the promotions of these. Of course, Kelce gets $20 million to promote the shots, but they don't have $3,000 to give to an injured person.
It's kind of crazy to think that somebody like Travis Kelce gets millions of dollars, yet somebody who's injured by it, first of all, has no rights to, you know, go against the company because those rights have been forfeited by our government, the government's whole goal is actually typically, I mean, the way the government should represent us as individuals, the whole purpose of these agencies is in a sense to decrease the risk and allow individuals to be safer. But instead, in this instance, the government is thwarting the ability for individuals to basically go against companies that have damaged their lives. So,
and the evidence is overwhelming. Ed Dowd's the guy who wrote the best-selling book a year ago, Cause Unknown. And here's an expert from Wall Street who knows how to read data. And he's gone through the data on the life insurance companies, the payouts for exorbitant deaths, these crazy Three Sigma events or whatever. It's just unheard of number of increase in deaths of young healthy people. And these people sit up here. And the reason that these – and he goes through later in this interview and he talks about how can these people be so blind. And the reason is, and it goes back to one of the earlier questions that one of the congressmen asked, they get rid of anybody that doesn't toe the line. And there's just this groupthink that these people are trapped to the detriment of millions of Americans. And there is no debate. He talks about it as well as Steve Kirsch talks about. There is never the opportunity to debate these people with any other types of data, even to the point that when Joseph Latipo, the state surgeon for Florida, requests real data, they won't give it to him, and that's what led to him weeks ago saying
even their own data, when it's negative, they say the data is not reliable.
Right. Yeah.
It's reliable when it's in their favor. When it's out of favor, it's unreliable.
Even though it's theirs, right?
Even though it's theirs, and they admit in this testimony to literally not being able to keep up with the avalanche. I mean, understand what an avalanche is. Avalanche is something covering you.
A sudden catastrophic increase.
Exactly. It's not something to laugh about as Marx did initially in his testimony. It's not funny because you have to have a lot of meetings about how to help. Those are real reports from real people being injured by something the government has openly stated and coercively at some point actually forced on individuals. And the response that your government head gives is, yeah, we weren't ready for that avalanche. Ha, 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 ha. I mean, that is how, first of all, it shows you that the person here pushing the approval, if he actually would have done his job instead of playing politics and trying to get everybody to agree to get this thing approved and actually listened to maybe the meetings that he said he was having, he would have said, maybe we don't need to approve this just yet. Maybe that avalanche is telling us something.
Yeah. And remember, there was a determination in the none other than the New England Journal of Medicine in June of 2020 saying if you consider mandating these shots, these six criteria must be met. Overarching all six is the absolute requisite informed consent. So it's not like these people were just they had no guidance as to how to do things properly. They intentionally ran right past the roadblocks that they were that were there for the public's health, and they intentionally destroyed those and tried to destroy millions of other people who questioned them and spoke out against them. And the Trusted News Initiative that we've spoken about was the mass media buy-off that allowed them to get away with this for all these 3 years now, 3+ years.
Yep. All right. And with that, we will be back for the third segment. This is, again, is Dr. Jordan Von, Dr. Stuart Tankersley with America Out Loud Pulse. Always one beat ahead.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Well, the year 2024 is upon us, and it is our chance to get it right and take back a free America. AmericaOutloud.news is your source for uncensored and factual news that facilitates truth and unity among all Americans to restore that American dream we have always cherished. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to America Out Loud Pulse. I'm Dr. Stuart Tankersley with Dr. Jordan Vaughn. We're looking at the undeniable evidence that clearly the large majority of people understand. A lot of countries, as was stated, are running away from these shots, yet the CDC, FDA, and the American Medical Industrial Complex are going breakneck speed, spending $5 billion, $5 trillion actually was the amount of money that has been used mainly to promote these shots and produce these shots over the last 3 years. And it's been unconscionable. The damage and death and destruction is undeniable. And in actually, it was a year and a half ago that Steve Kirsch made his presentation at FLCCC, and more abundant evidence has come forward. I think it's worth looking at some of these ridiculous numbers. And once again, Steve Kirsch is using their data, showing that no wonder they don't want to debate us, because they will lose. Actually, he offered $3 million to one of their experts to debate him on it, and he won't do it. There is no debate. They do not debate. They have not debated from the beginning, because they had a plan, an operation set in stone that they were going to run, and boy, have they been running that plan to perfection, to evil perfection. And so I want to play a clip of a year and a half ago when Steve Kirsch spoke.
And they're all backed by lots and lots of data points that are consistent with these conservative estimates. But the big point here is that I believe that we're saving less than 10,000 lives. It's probably zero that these vaccines are saving people dying from COVID. But in the Pfizer phase 3 trial, it's basically, they said it was one per 22,000. Okay, so when you look at 250 million people vaccinated, you're going to save probably less than 10,000 lives. Best case. But we're going to kill at least 500,000. So we're killing 50 people to save one.
Yeah, it's absurd. And this is a year and a half ago, and of course, more data has come forward since. But in his assessment, and of course, he's a genius of a guy, and he has a lot of geniuses working for him. And on the slide in the presentation, according to their data, per 250 million vaccinated, there will be 20 million injured, 2 million disabled, life-threatening injury in 1 million, and killed 500,000. And once again, compared to the Pfizer phase 3 trial results, where less than 11,000 are saved, lives are saved. 1 in 50, 1 per 50. It'd be laughable if it weren't so evil. And he was critiqued for his assessment, and Dr. Naomi Wolf and her team validated, and no legacy. This will be this is a good indication of how true our side has been. Polling is a major part of the legacy media's their statements and their reporting. Yet they don't allow polling of people that are. And he goes through several examples in his presentation. They don't allow the polls to be done. It's unconscionable. Interestingly, he also, in his wonderful presentation, talked about Trudeau up in Canada. The Liberal Party did an expert report from the Ontario data showing no benefit in infection, hospitalization, or death. And then he looked at the data from VAERS and CDC, and I'm going to play that clip for you now.
Numbers, and I always look for correlation. So I look for, you know, if you do it this way, what do you get? If you do it this way, what do you get? If you do it this way, what do you get? And so I have a bunch of different ways that I look at the data. And there is a guy in the UK who looks at these numbers, and he just is like his full-time job. He's a data analyst. And I asked him, hey, look, you've looked at numbers all over the world. Have you seen anything that is supportive for the vaccine? And he said, no. Nobody wants to debate him either. My favorite is that the death safety signal, you know, they said back in the early days that the FDA was monitoring the safety signals like a hawk. Stephen A. Anderson, I remember him saying it, like a hawk, he's monitoring the stuff. I tried to email him. I tried to call him. He doesn't respond. You know, the death safety signal in VAERS triggered, and triggered long ago. And I had assumed that that they've cooked the book so that the death, so that these safety signals never trigger. So I never even bothered to do the calculation. It turns out that the death safety signal is so extreme that even in their flawed formula, it triggers. And it has triggered. And I've had two independent statisticians verify this. And I asked David Gorski, who's always debunking people like me. I said, why don't you verify it? And maybe I'll bet $1 million that I'm right. So it's a free $1 million for you. Gorski declined. David Gorski declined the offer to debunk me on this. CDC would not respond.
And he goes further, shortly after this part of the discussion, he goes further in how they're turning a blind eye.
And I won't go through all of them just for time reasons, but all of these things are evidence that people are basically turning a blind eye to everything. All the injuries, all the deaths. And they don't want to know. This is, I know this guy. He's familiar.
He's talking about Ian Cole.
I asked him how many pathologists are doing the proper stains to determine whether a death was caused by COVID. And he said, one. I think he's probably talking about himself. We have articles saying that they did a Freedom of Information Act request to the CDC. It turns out the CDC wasn't monitoring safety signals. Just like in Israel, they didn't start collecting data seriously on vaccine safety for an entire year. And when they looked at the data, it was so troubling that they completely said nothing. They basically took the report and said, thank you very much, we're not going to tell anyone. It was leaked to the press, and only GB News and the Epic Times and Steve Burch's Substack covered this.
And he goes on to talk about a whistleblower at HHS releasing to him the data showing that 8.7% of people who took the shot sought health care because of the injury from the shot, if they were allowed to receive it, if they didn't die, of course. There have been thousands of papers showing the serious adverse events like one the congressman was talking about. I thought that an interesting part was he showed data from a guy who was married, and of 100 people that were vaccinated compared to 100 people who came to the wedding that were unvaccinated. And it's a staggering number. Of those that were unvaccinated, zero had serious events or deaths. And of the vaccinated, 26 had serious adverse events and 7 deaths. And it just goes to show that these people don't want to know. They circle the wagons anytime somebody reveals hard data against them. And they're never held responsible. It looks like those days are changing.
There's no data showing the number of lives, say, that's reliable, right? There is unreliable data. The data from the UK government is garbage. So you have a lot of garbage data, and you can make lots of conclusions when you have garbage data. But when you have legitimate data that is self-consistent, I mean, like I looked at the UK data, and I showed that, you know, look, this data is impossible. And I talked to Professor Norman Fenton in the UK, and I said, hey, you know, this data makes no sense. He says, yeah, it's complete garbage. Right, so you know, garbage data, you can come up with all sorts of conclusions. You know, this is why these.
And so, once again, he summarizes his talk about garbage in, garbage out. That was a year and a half ago, and now we have more and more evidence. Of course, Ed Dowd's book, Cause Unknown, goes into details about it. But at the very end of Ed Dowd's discussion with David and Stacy Whited on Flyover Conservative, he says the following.
Well, so this problem started, you know, 30, 40 years ago, and it's been a slow creep of fusion between government and corporations. which, you know, that's the definition of fascism. So basically, unfortunately, all the regulatory bodies have been captured by the people they're supposed to regulate. It's at the EPA, it's at the FDA, it's at the CDC. So over time, this fusion between government and corporations, and then that gets back to the politicians in their lobby. You know, they get lobbied by these people and they get campaign donations. So it's this circular money train where everybody profits at the expense of the common citizen. So this is the culture we have, and it didn't happen overnight. It's been creeping on us for decades. And unfortunately, we didn't see it until it manifested in what I call the death and injury jab. And it finally exposed everything. So this has been going on forever. We've seen pharmaceutical companies jam drugs through. Vioxx was one that Pfizer ended up, or Merck ended up paying billions of dollars. Pfizer was fined $2.2 billion for, you know, fraudulent sales to doctors.
And all of this is because the elected officials and the people that are in the public realm of health, of the medical industrial complex, they're completely corrupted. And there's very unfortunate that that's occurred. There's no debating. I mean, there is debating. They won't allow it. But the evidence is overwhelming how they have injured millions. I believe by the end of this, it'll be billions. Like they sought to do, but it's very unfortunate, and it's time for people to wake up and take responsibility for how they have been complicit with this. And thankfully, these congressmen in this hearing are starting to get these people on record. Peter Marks, man, oh man, what a sad man. He's one of the heads of the snake that have been doing such damage and covering for it. But real quick summary on him I mentioned earlier. Our federal hearing in Tampa that Teresa Long and I were witnesses in, Peter Marks was asked by the judge to appear, and he did not show. He wasn't ordered by the judge. It would have been wonderful if he did, because had he showed up the week before, on March the 1st, there was the first data trove that was released by the judge, another judge in Texas, when Pfizer in January of 22 had asked for 75 years to release the data. The judge said, oh, I'll give you 8 months. And the first trove of documents came out March 1st. I think it was Pfizer document 5.3.6. And it showed the astronomical number of injuries and deaths that had occurred in the first 10 weeks of the rollout of the vaccine. And they knew this, and they were hiding it. And so this came out, and when that came out, I'm sure he had no intention of showing up for the hearing, because there's no defense of this evil. There is no defense of the evil. And so here we are. What's going to happen at our state level? Well, in Alabama, for example, there is now, as of yesterday, a senator has requested that the state health officer in Alabama, unfortunately, has never been responsive to any of the elected officials, because he's appointed by the medical association. And that's the reason why in Alabama there's been no recourse against these people as of yet. But hopefully, if Senator Gavan's bill passes, and we hopeful and prayerful that it will, there will then be allow for somebody to go into our state's database and show what they've done. One of our state health officer's classmates or residents, co-residents with him, is a state senator, and he asked him last summer, why are you still promoting these shots? And his response was, because we're getting free money from the feds. That's total corruption. And that's one of the main things I learned. I don't know if I've ever told y'all this. I served on the Ethics Commission for the state of Alabama. And one of the main things I learned is that corruption is illegal. I would have thought going in, when I started my 5-year term on the Ethics Commission, everybody understood corruption was illegal. But no. There is a ton of legalized corruption going on in our state and in our federal government, and certainly in the WHO and the medical industrial complex, that is not for our safety and for our well-being. The damage they have done is generational. The plummeting numbers in the fertility rate, the lack of the increase, dramatic increase in miscarriages and stillbirths or intrauterine deaths that we wrote about in our article from that was published in the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons last May. Just a recap, 57-fold increased risk, that's 5,700% increase of miscarriages in those who received the shots versus those who had received the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine was approved in 1997 in pregnancy in America. And why these shots were ever approved for pregnant women is beyond me, because of corruption. Excuse me. There was a 38-fold, 3,800% increase in intrauterine death. That's after 20 weeks and after pregnancy. But finally, it looks like with these congressional hearings, and next week I'm looking forward to the hearing up in D.C. that Senator Johnson's hosting again with Dr. McCullough, and Ed Dowd will be there and others. But it's time for this insanity to stop. And with that, once again, thank you for joining us. We invite you to email us your questions at AmericaOutLoudPulse. Always one beat ahead. I'm Dr. Stuart Tankersley with Jordan Vaughn. Thank you.